I'm going to continue the hour now by talking about a big thing that has been happening for a couple of decades in the courts, the ongoing legal battle over what's called the Leandro case. This is a case that dates back to the mid-90s, in which numerous judges all the way up to the state Supreme Court have consistently ruled that North Carolina has been failing to uphold its obligation, its state constitutional obligation, to provide all students with access to a sound basic education. The latest on this, there's now, and there has been for months, a plan on the table to begin providing the funding to the schools to meet that obligation. There is an order from a judge in Raleigh, a Superior Court judge, ordering lawmakers and government officials to implement that plan. The state House and Senate passed their budget bill earlier this week. That does not include all of the funds that are called for in that plan. So now there's likely to be an order coming up soon from that judge directing executive officials to pull money out of reserves to cover the funding. That's where things stand right now. But the battle is still very much ongoing, and our schools are very much caught in the middle of it. Local and statewide advocates for public schools have been weighing in on this in a big way for a very long time. And we're joined now, after that long introduction, by Marianne Wolf, who you may know as a member of the Chapel Hill-Carrboro City School Board, but today she's with us in her other capacity as the Executive Director of the Public School Forum of North Carolina. ncforum.org is their website. Marianne, thank you so much for being with us this morning.
Thank you so much for having me and for talking about this really important issue.
And I apologize for making you sit there for an hour and a half while I went through it, but this is a thing that's been going on for almost 30 years. This case was filed in 1994. The first ruling, I think, was 1997. So it has been, we just had movement on the green tract this week from the local boards, and people were talking, oh, this has been going on since 1999. This has been going on longer than that, which is really remarkable.
It is, and it's interesting how much it continues to be significant, how much it continues to resonate. And I think one of the things I go back to again and again is that what the Leandro plan now calls for, but also what we've been talking about for years, is also both common sense, but also really is the foundation of education and the deep focus on what do our students need and what will it take to get there. When we look at what's in the action plan, for me, I go back to, well, it's hard to argue that we don't need an excellent teacher for every child, right? So I think at the core of Leandro, it's really looking at those pieces. So we need a teacher, an excellent, high-qualified teacher for every child. We need a high-quality and well-prepared principal for every school. We need school support personnel. We need a finance system that makes sure that the students that need the most are able to get the resources they need. We need counselors, social workers, psychologists, and the list goes on. But it really is actually very much the foundation of what it takes for our schools and our districts to be able to provide every child with access to a high-quality education.
Who is getting hurt the most by this? Who in the state is being denied that access?
So we have many, many hundreds of thousands of students across the state, right? So we're at about 1.5 million students. And when you look at the Leandro plan and you look at the difference it would make by district, there's a tool out there that every child NC has put together where you can go and see what each child would. You quickly see that it's many, many children. And when we look at this more deeply, what we know is that right now as a state, we really do have a crisis in terms of our teacher pay. And teachers are the number one school-related factor that can impact student outcomes. And really what this is isn't an investment in the human resources that then support our kids. So it's our kids that are hurt the most, right, and kids that have the highest needs. But it's also then how do we attract and retain high-quality educators to support those students and also have the other resources they need. And so there are districts across the state that really struggle to recruit those high-quality teachers. But the thing now is, I mean, two decades into Leandro, the reality is every district in our state right now has vacancies. And in the past, that was not the case. And we have a teacher shortage and a crisis. And you're hearing a lot about the staffing shortages, too. And all of this plays into that, because if we don't have well-resourced, well-funded schools, we cannot do what we need for every child.
So talk about the gap between what's in the Leandro plan and what we're seeing come out of the state budget, because there has been an increase in education funding in that state budget, just not to the degree that is called for in the plan.
Right. And so, you know, we've done, and we're finalizing our analysis of this, which will be coming out shortly. And as we look at this, there are things in it that are very, very important that are a step in the right direction. But what we know is that Leandro actually presents a comprehensive plan that allows us to really see systemic changes. And that's what we need. But we also know that we need recurring dollars. This isn't going to change. So one of the things we want to commend is that there is a hold harmless for districts whose enrollment has dropped somewhat because of the pandemic. We saw a rebound this year across the state, but we know we're not there yet, so we want to commend that. We do see raises for teachers. It's 5% across 2 years, but that includes their step increase. So some are saying it's closer to a 1.3% actual raise for each year. The Leandro plan called for almost double that in these 2 years, and I think that's very important. We also saw in the Leandro plan a lot of recommendations around early childhood. And while there are some steps in terms of Smart Start and other programs, we're about halfway there. So when we look across the budget this year, we're seeing about 50% of where we were hoping to go. One important piece that is in the budget, and right now we need to see, will this be sustained, is in fact supplements. And I believe it will be recurring, but that's a really important piece. Supplements for districts, all but 5 districts in the state, will have teacher supplements. And those supplements vary greatly from 0 all the way up to over 9,000 for school districts on top of what the state puts out there to pay. We know we have a challenge there with teacher pay across our state, so that is a really important piece of teacher recruitment and retention.
Speaking with Marianne Wolf, Executive Director of the Public School Forum of North Carolina. Again, ncforum.org is their website. I want to get back to teacher pay. You mentioned that, and I want you to say more about the connection, the relationship between teacher salaries and the students in the classroom, because one of the kind of comeback arguments that I often hear is, well, the funds should be going to the students directly. Why are we focusing so much on the teachers? Why are we focusing so much on the teachers?
So we do know that high quality teacher is the most important factor in terms of student outcomes. And what we know is that we need excellent teachers in every classroom for every student. And what we're seeing right now are vacancies where substitutes are having to fill in and do other things. But we also look at our pipeline, and over the past decade, our enrollment in our education prep programs in the state, so the universities and colleges in the state, is down by half. So not only do we have shortages right now, our pipeline is dramatically reduced. And so we need to continue to see significant investments in this. We have some investments, but that needs to go a lot further. And that is one of the gaps we see between what Leandro recommended and what's in this current budget. And as you know, when you think about the teachers that make a difference that can be there, we need to make sure they have the working conditions and are able to do what we need, but also those support personnel in their schools, the counselors, psychologists, social workers who partner with them and work so closely. And so, again, we appreciate some of what's in this budget, but we know it needs to go further. And we also want to remind everyone that this is a constitutional obligation our state put forth, that we want to make sure that every child has access to a sound basic education. And there is a plan that shares what that would be. So, again, there are important steps, but we still have significant gaps. And by the analysis we've seen so far, that's at about half for this year, and it's closer to about 40% of the Leandro plan for next year.
Now that the budget has passed, what is your role as an advocacy group now, or to try to get to that point where the whole plan is in effect?
So we continue to put forth data and research in terms of what matters for students, where we are, and what the data shows. So we will continue to look very closely at where we are, where the gaps are. We also are watching very closely. There was a 30-day stay with the most recent Leandro order. So I think that puts us around December 10th to see what will the state do, and will they make sure that there are further investments. And the good news is there's a lot of agreement that teachers matters, principals matter, early childhood matters, post-secondary attainment matters. So can we all work together to make that happen? And my hope is that we will see above and beyond what the budget says right now, and that Leandro will be fully funded, and that will make sense and do really important things for kids.
Speaking with Marianne Wolf, and the Leandro plan, if fully put into effect, will impact some districts more than others based on need. What will the impact be locally? What will Chapel Hill Carborough say?
So I think across the board, what we will see is that the state overall will need to increase funding. It will impact different districts differently. Even when you look at the supplement that was included in the budget, the Orange County school districts will get some additional supplement, but there are districts that will get 5 times that much. And there are also districts that will not get anything, actually. There are 5 districts this year. So similarly, you know, with Leandro, this really is a statewide plan, making sure that we see access. We are seeing some recommendations around students with disabilities, limited English proficiency, and other areas where districts will see support in that. And I think that will be very important too. And as a state, as we look at our economy, we look at our workforce development, Leandro, and the budget, right? Really, this is just investment in education, investment in what we know we need to be successful as a state. And so I hope as long as we continue to remember that's what this isn't throwing money at anything. This is truly investing in our kids and our education system. And as a state that wants to continue to attract business and just be a very dynamic place that people want to live, that is absolutely critical.
Speaking with Marianne Wolf, again, Executive Director of the Public School Forum of North Carolina. Should also mention right now a member of the Chapel Hill Carborough City School Board, but you just had your last meeting last night as a school board member because you're stepping down. What are your thoughts about that?
Sure. I have loved serving our community here in Chapel Hill Carborough City Schools. We are definitely a place where people care greatly about what happens in our community, about our schools. I want to thank our district, our principals, our teachers, and all the staff that give every single day, but also the parents who work with us to make that possible. And we have been through, it has been a very interesting 4 years to be on the school board, but I do think we are moving in many ways in the right direction to make sure we serve the academic, social, and emotional needs of our students. And I would just encourage everyone to continue to be involved and really share what's working and where we can continue to improve, because we know there's always more we can do smarter and better, but I do think we're in a district that is so committed to that, and I've appreciated that, and I'm not going far away, so I'll continue to be involved.
And then as we wrap up this conversation, final thoughts about Leandro. What should people take away? What's likely to happen going forward?
Sure. Well, this is a multi-decade old court case. This really is about what we care about and what we want to invest in and what it takes to make sure that every child has access to a high quality education. And when you go down and you boil down to what's in the plan about teachers, principals, school supports, and other resources that our students need, this is what makes sense. And it's also truly the foundation of how we build. So we've had some people say, you know, how do we make sure we continue to innovate in our schools? But in order to innovate, we need flexibility. And we also need resources in order to make that happen. And really, innovation in our schools is making sure that every child has what they need to succeed, and every child has access to pathways that allow them to be successful in life. And so I think at its core, Leandro is about that, making sure that every child has access to the opportunities and the learning experiences they need.
We'll keep following the discussion in the courts and in the legislature. More from the Public School Forum of North Carolina online at ncforum.org. Marianne Wolf, as always, thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Aaron. Appreciate it.